What you're about to hear is a hyper-condensed version of Game of Microphones, Episode 107, covering Game of Thrones Season 7, Episode 5, East Watch. Comprised of highlights and bloopers from our full episode, the following clips are out of context and may be out of sequence. For more, check out the full episode at gameofmicrophones.com. Spoilers ahead.
Who would you say is the father?
You.
Like that.
Do you remember what Father used to say about people?
The lion does not concern himself with the opinions of the sheep.
Never betray me again.
When you play the Game of Microphones, you win or you die. From within the House of Black and White, it's Sir Duncan and Lady Rachel.
Ouch.
I love that part. Gendry is so gangsta.
I know.
Gendry!
What up, Gendry?
Right? He's back.
They wouldn't recognize me. Sometimes I hardly do.
Yeah, right. Look in the mirror. Don't even recognize yourself.
Nothing fucks you harder than time.
Classic.
Oh, classic. Damn. And so he just basically tosses his tools off to the side. He takes his apron off and he picks up like a man bag, a satchel.
A merce. I loved how he was so ready to go, just like right off the bat, too. It was sort of, it felt like... like a sort of meta enthusiasm, whereas like the actor who plays Gendry, you know, he was on the show for season two, and like a little bit of season three maybe, and then he's gone for all these years, and now when things are getting really crazy, he gets the opportunity to come back on the show, you know. So the actor's just sitting there on ice, knowing that
he's
his character's
like,
out there. Yeah, exactly. It's like, I'm ready to go.
Let's
I'm ready.
Do this.
Yeah, and then next episode when they make him run all that distance. I feel that's like hazing, like, oh, we shot this show 200 days a year for years leading up to this point. We earned it. You want to join the crew now at this point late in the game? You're going to run. We're going to make you earn your spot on the team.
Yeah, that's so great. I love that.
Yeah.
Gendry, you know, lays his hammer into the boat.
Yes.
And Davos.
That thing is monstrous, too.
Oh, it's like, so fucking big. It's huge. So Davos is instructing him, you know, you need to keep quiet about being Robert Baratheon's dad son. Ew, they like smell it and they taste it and their face is like, oh my God, this is fucking
so gross.
And so to get them to go away, he's like, I'd hurry along, go to your favorite establishment, have a good time.
Otherwise you'll put a hole through that chainmail.
Oh my God, that's so bad.
Yeah, hilarious. And as they're talking in the background, you can see Gendry like creeping up with a fucking hammer cocked. Oh my
and then
God.
Boom!
Crash! Tyrion didn't kill Joffrey. He had nothing to do with it. And Cersei just
after
like.
All this time, it still amazes me.
She doesn't, she like has no idea. And Jaime just like cuts her right off, just like, it was Olenna. She confessed. Cersei still doesn't believe it. She's. Everything that she believes, that they have a chance in the war, that Tyrion killed Joffrey, she lives in a giant delusion, you know? And
totally.
Sorry, I'm yawning.
No, that's all right.
Yeah. Oops, sorry, my chair's squeaking.
That's all right. Yeah, it just makes me nervous.
You know, I know Cersei has told you ridiculous propaganda about me, that I'm here to burn down your homes, murder and orphan your children. But that's Cersei. That's not me.
It's kind of hard to believe, though, after what they all just witnessed. You know what I mean? It pans around the devastation and she's like, I'm not here to destroy that your houses. And everything around them is just like destroyed and massacred. If she uses those dragons,
really
uses
them.
Yeah.
God damn. You can't send me to the wall. You are not my queen.
Fucking idiot.
So Dany nods to her Dothraki and they pull Randall away and Dickon,
no,
following stubbornly in his dad's footsteps. Oh, you know, you're going to have to kill me too. I like how she calls him Dickon.
Dickon.
Dickon Tarly.
Dickon.
Dickon Tarly.
Instead of Dickon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's about to be Dickon the Tarlys in a minute. She dicks their whole house. Don't let it happen again. Bend the knee.
Bend the knee.
Your Grace, if you begin beheading entire families...
I'm not beheading anyone.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. It's like, you have a fucking dragon behind you, Tyrion. Yeah. My guess is that she's not going to be beheading people.
Oh, fuck. And then, like, oh, Tyrion looks over at Drogon and he's just like, like, ready to fucking roll.
They escort the Tarleys over to a nice little barbecue patch.
Dracarys. So casual. And Danny's like, well, how would you even get into King's Landing? And everybody stops and looks over at Davos. Looks at Davos. We got a smuggler in the room.
Onion Knight.
Yeah. And he's like, I can smuggle you in. But if the gold cloaks were to recognize you, I'm warning you. I'm not a fighter. I'm not a fighter. I can't remember how he says it.
Window counting and annulments. He even repeats it.
Yeah.
Bowel movements for all eternity while the secret to defeating the Night King is probably sitting on some dusty shelf somewhere completely ignored.
And I'm like, dude, that's you literally right. Just ignored a secret that may be important to defeating the Night King.
I have that note too.
Yeah, he's talking about a secret being ignored. Well, he's ignoring a secret. The secret that Jon Snow is Aegon Targaryen that may be the key factor in uniting all of the southern armies together to ride north to be able to handle the Night King. This may be the thing that solidifies the southern army. And he's like, Serv Davos told me where you're going. Let me come with you. And, Davos is like, dude, what the fuck? I'm trying to save you. You know, and you're like,
you're not going beyond the wall.
He's like, now you're even more likely to die. And Davos is still trying to convince him not to go. He's like, as my father used to say, it's better to be a coward for a minute than to be dead for the rest of your life.
Great, it reminded quote. Me of when he goes, don't mind me, I've just lived to a ripe old age.
Yeah, that's like his next line, I think. Yeah.
Oh, that is this episode. Oh, how yeah. funny. Yeah, she had like this big blonde beehive wig, like as tall as you could, like Marge Simpson tall. She has water balloons in her bra. She's in like 6-inch heels. She's stumbling down the street singing Jolene. And all of a sudden she starts wigging out. And I see this like bat wing across her face and she's falling and her water balloons like fall out of her bra and they splatter on the ground. I'm dressed up as Tinkerbell. It's like 5 degrees outside and I'm in a leotard I'm literally like rolling on the ground, laughing, like not even trying to help her. The bat finally got out of her wig and she was just a fucking hot freaking mess. Out. She's like, why didn't you help me? And I'm like, I didn't want to get rabies.
That's hilarious.
The Adventures of Tater Salad and Tater Tot.
Damn. Yeah, you should write a book.
Oh, man. It would be way too long. He has tricked Arya in this scene to spy on him spying on her.
Right. How crazy is that?
Which causes you know, Arya to find the scroll.
Do you think that she doesn't know that he knows she's spying on him? Like, do you think she's actually falling for this? Or do you think that she's playing into his game?
Like... she's spying on him, spying on her, spying on him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could very well be. I think Arya is very confident in her faceless man's skills, but she hasn't spent a lot of time around Baelish. So I'm not sure she really realizes what a slimy snake he is.
Yeah.
That's hard for me to say, but it could be possible. My only big question to my own theory, or this theory, I guess other people have picked up on it too, is other than pure survival of just not dying, how could he pop back into the show? Where would he fit in?
Yeah, good question. Good question. I think it'd be awesome to get him back. It'd be such a twist, like right at the end, like he like pops out and does some
murder
crazy
Cersei.
Shit. Yeah, your brother, and pushes Cersei off the Red Keep or something.
Damn.
Tormund learns that Jon is planning on going north of the Wall, and he says to Davos, "Isn't it your job to talk him out of stupid fucking ideas like this?"
Yeah,
I've been failing at that job of late. How many men did you bring?
And he looks at the table like, this is it.
The big
the
woman.
The big woman.
Yeah. And I love John's reaction too. He smiles. He loves the way that Tormund loves Brienne. He loves it.
Yeah. Okay, I'm back.
Good evening, Clarice.
Ooh. That was creepy.
I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Stop it.
Oh, I forgot to mention before when we were talking about the scroll. That's total Rick and Morty style.
I mean, we got to get the hell out of here and go take care of business. It's important. Come on, Morty.
I don't know, Rick.
Rick will be talking in mid-sentence. He'll just throw a big burp out and like can just continue talking. And that made me think that, like, after Jaime leaves King's Landing and bails on Cersei, we don't know what happens with Bronn.
That's true.
You know, like, so, please forgive him, Drogon. You know, Bronn, come and join Tyrion. And Drogon gets closer and brings his face right up to him. And he just slowly touches his face and Drogon's lip is whole.
Did you
like,
see his teeth? Like he's baring his teeth at him and he has like teeth like up in his gums. Like
extra
what are those?
Teeth coming down. Oh yeah, so cool, man. And like his whole lip is like moving up and down as
he's like growling at him.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
I wouldn't say he's growling. It seemed more like purring to me.
That's true. Yeah,
you
it
know?
Could be that.
Like for the dragon, it's like he sees its family. He recognizes, he smells that Targaryen blood. So Jon manages to touch him. And Dany has tried doing this so many times and had Drogon leave and fly away even before she's able to touch him, like at the top of the pyramid at Meereen. It's not always a guarantee that even Dany can touch Drogon. You know what I mean? So having her most fearsome dragon, Drogon, be
submissive
to Jon Snow. Yeah. And allowing him to touch his face.
Drogon knows who the rightful king of the Seven Kingdoms is.
So I think this is another thing that Dany sees here that she's going to remember when she learns that Jon is truly Aegon Targaryen. There's the fact that Jon doesn't like what he's good at, which is killing, which reminded her of Rhaegar, I'm pretty sure, last episode. And then now there's the fact that the dragons are basically accepting Jon as family, like immediately, like, you know? And so I think these are two very significant things to Dany that are going to stick out when she learns the alleged truth of Jon Snow's true identity. And she's going to have a series of like a realization where all of these things that she's noticing are falling into place and she realizes the truth of it.
Yeah.
Search your feelings, Daenerys. You know it to be true.
I know. Somehow, I've always known.
Then you know why I have to face him.
She looks so surprised, and Drogon kind of, you know, finally Jon just like releases his hand off of Drogon, and Drogon kind of turns and looks back at Dany, like,
yeah,
get down from here and talk to this guy.
Yeah.
You need to talk to him. They're my children.
Yeah. And that's interesting too. Like the way she says that, and John doesn't really know what to say to that. Like he doesn't really directly respond to her saying they're my children. So that made me wonder how much of the story does he know? Is he like in his mind, he's like, you birthed them? You know? Or does he know like that she hatched them in a fire, like in the pyre of Drogo? Like what does he know? What does he not know? He knows nothing.
I would probably think that he does not know that.
We can default Jon Snow knows nothing, we'll say.
Perfect. Nice.
I mean, so of course, all the maesters are going to believe this idea that it could be a dragon queen plot. That seems way more believable than magic birds talking to cripples, as that one maester says, right? The problem that Varys is having in this moment is that he's having post-traumatic stress from basically the experiences that he had during the reign of the Mad King. He heard that these people got roasted, and it's making him think about all of these times where he was sitting there watching people beg for mercy, being roasted.
Not the one doing it.
Hearing the pitch of their voices as it's screaming.
I'm not the one doing it.
Smelling the burning hair and the roasting flesh as it filled the throne room.
I'm not the one doing it.
Exactly. So Varys is having PTSD here.
Did you read it?
It's a sealed scroll for the king in the north. In other words, of course I read it.
Yeah. What does it say?
And Tyrion's kind of quiet for a second. And then
nothing good.
As if Varys already wasn't stressed out enough with the whole toasted Tarly's situation and everything, and like worried about Dany, you know, Tarly's. falling into the like baser desires of Targaryen depravity. You know what I mean? Now he's got this whole thing to worry about as well. The army of the undead riding from the north with the Night King and fucking giants and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, that's what you really want, isn't it, too, for John to not come back? I know you're thinking about it. You're thinking about it right now. And the thought just won't go away.
You know? God. And Arya.
And Sansa's like, how can you even think such a horrible thing?
And Sansa's like, God damn it. I have work to do. I got to go. And she's my lady. And
my lady. So snarky.
So then Hugh, Bronn, and Jaime going down into the dungeons. And
yep. Gotta practice, man. You gotta spar. You gotta train. Yeah, there's all this shit going on. But you know, what are you like? You're planning on fighting Dothraki 12-year-olds? You gotta make sure you're on point.
Yep. So why down here?
Well, yeah, obviously.
I don't think you want people to see you fighting because you fucking suck. So, yeah,
duh.
You know, well, if I don't return, you don't have to deal with the King of the North anymore.
Yeah. I love her response too. She looks deeply into his eyes and she says, but I've grown used to him. And oh man, I mean, right there, she's basically telling him like,
I
have feelings for you. Yeah. You know, like,
this is my dragon. Moment.
Yeah. Yeah. You woke my dragon, you know, like Viserys would say, you don't want to wake the dragon, do you?
Oh, damn.
He awoke Danny's dragon.
Bound chicka bow wow.
Brown chicken, brown dragon.
Oh, I forgot to note when we were talking about John touching the dragon.
He hasn't touched the dragon yet. Oh, Drogon.
Well, speaking of touching the other dragon.
He just woke Danny's dragon right now. He hasn't actually gotten to touch it
well,
yet.
Well, the same music plays when John touches Drogon the dragon, the dragon.
He actually, like Bruce Lee, he also enters the dragon. All right, that's our show, episode 107. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
And a huge thank you to John Bailey, the epic voice guy from the Emmy nominated Honest Trailers for announcing our show. If you'd like to donate or subscribe to support us, you can go to paypal.me/gompodcast or patreon.com/gompodcast to donate an amount of your choosing. There are links to both at gameofmicrophones.com.
Doing some online shopping? Go to gameofmicrophones.com and click on our link to Amazon. As an Amazon associate, we earn from qualifying purchases.
Any contribution you make helps, and you can help secure the continued existence of Game of Microphones. We'd like to thank our patrons, Sir Matthew of House Rep, Lady Lucy of House Roberts, Lady Candace of House Twos, Lady Terry of House Theodore, Lord Jeff of House Allen, Sirenicide, Lord John of House Grills, Lord Jeremiah of House Carpenter, and Luke the Low Duke. We love you guys and appreciate your patronage. And another thank you to Lord Bryson of House Wolf. Big thank you to you as well.
Yes, thank you guys so much. You're awesome to do that.
Definitely. And make sure to check out Sirenicide, the serialized horror drama podcast featuring me and Archmaester Stitches. Go to Sirenicide.com and download it wherever you get your podcasts.
We also want to give a huge thanks to Lady Lisa of House Sky, High Romancer. She has been super clutch behind the scenes working to get our website, gameofmicrophones.com, up and running. She's also an incredibly skilled artist. You need to check out her amazingly illustrated children's book, The People You May See, available now on Amazon.com. It's Prime eligible too. And honestly, it's one of my son's favorite books. He still takes it out every night. I love that he enjoys it so much. Mm-hmm. It's a great way to teach your children about, you know, people that they see in their life that may look different or unique from them and how to deal with that situation.
Yeah, diversity and tolerance.
Yes, it's really a great, her descriptions of the people in her books are just really easy for young children to understand, and her illustrations are just so realistic. It's amazing. It also provides a really easy way to describe to your child like what it is that they're looking at or seeing for the first time. Mm. And so when they go to see these people in public, they won't, you know, be nervous or afraid and just be accepting. And I think it's really wonderful.
Yeah, it's a really cool idea.
You can check all of her work out at fineartsbylisa.com. She's also on Instagram and Facebook /fineartsbylisa.
Next episode, we'll be covering season 7, episode 6, Beyond the Wall. And we'll have a special guest, Sir Patrick of Hindsight, joining us as
Tin
well.
Tin foil!
Give it a watch and send us your thoughts, guys. We'd love to read them on the air. If you'd like to call, you can always call us at 813-563-3739. That's 813-JOFFREY.
If you would like to write in, you can email us at ravens@gameofmicrophones.com.
Check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/GOM podcast.
Dragon tail slap.
Whoa!
Like he did with the bushes.
Yeah, that part was awesome. And like he did with the ballista last episode, the scorpion, yeah. He smashed it.
Nice. You can also listen to Game of Microphones on YouTube, BitChute, and Steemit. Just search for Game of Microphones to find our channel. Likes, comments, and shares are also appreciated.
We're also on Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Minds at GOM Podcast.
And we're on Tumblr, too, at Game of Microphones.
All right, that's our show.
Thanks for listening.
If I don't return, at least you won't have to deal with the king in the north anymore.
But I've grown used to him.
I wish you good fortune in the wars to come, Your Grace.
I've traveled to a bunch of random places and random countries. But as a Midwestern guy, I recently have been falling in love with what the more rugged parts of America have to offer to all of us before they're gone. TMH Productions and Powers Media House presents Beautiful America, a musical documentary series with all original content. Explore the southwest of America and indulge in some places you've heard of and plenty more that you certainly have not. Cooking under the stars and below freezing temps of Death Valley. 4K drone footage of one of the most insane monoliths on Earth. Driving in abandoned mines, cliffs, canyons, and wild times. Check it out. TMage Productions on Facebook and YouTube. That's TEAMAGE Productions. Beautiful America.